When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Loose Units, Loose Ends, our weekly spin-off podcast where Dad and I talk about whatever we want, because we want to. I'm Paul Verhoeven, that's John Verhoeven. Dad, there's so many stories to talk about today, one of which I believe is tangentially related to me in a roundabout way.
Yes, a very unusual crime has occurred in Sydney.
Yes.
It's really a confronting crime.
Yeah.
It involves a Korean taekwondo instructor.
Yes.
His reputation is, from what I can gather, second to none.
Yeah.
And he specializes in teaching children. In fact, he's got between 300 and 400 children on the books.
That's a lot. I mean, I studied taekwondo when I was a kid. You sent me to taekwondo. Over in like a church hall in Manly, I did taekwondo for, you know, 3 or 4 years. Was it just me, or did Anne and Mark ever get in on the action? Do you remember?
Anne got involved.
Did she?
And your...
grandfather.
Your grandfather.
Yes.
Who was the chief of a village in Fiji.
Uh-huh.
He broke your instructor's leg with one kick.
Ah, actually, he broke the instructor. So there was a demonstration. I was at this class. So my grandfather, Tim Vosalongi, is, yes, Fijian, grandfather by marriage. And he came across and was like an incredible taekwondo fighter and instructor and whatever. And he came to our class and there was like a guest kind of taekwondo guy who came in to do sort of some demonstrations with our teacher. And yeah, grandfather broke his leg. It was pretty traumatic. It was pretty badass. Yeah, everybody was it was a weird moment of pride to turn to the guy and go, "That's my grandfather." Kind of like a proud way. I didn't really continue with martial arts after that. Can't imagine why. Probably because it got too traumatic. And now I do karate. And when my sensei at class, Natsuko, said, "Have you ever done martial arts before?" I lied and said no, because I didn't really, you know, when you're a kid, you're not really doing anything. You're just sort of kind of going through the motions. But
No. So this particular story, Paul, it's definitely on the bizarre end of the spectrum.
Uh-huh.
In a nutshell, the taekwondo instructor, he presents himself to a hospital called Westmead Hospital in Western Sydney. He has got numerous stab wounds to his arms, chest, and abdomen.
Jesus.
He's in a bad way.
Right.
He managed to walk into the hospital, which listeners who may like to cast their memory back to Paul's first book about the witch, an extraordinary story in the annals of Loose Units. In fact, I'd say in the annals of everything that's happened on the bizarre side of things that's happened in Sydney or anywhere in any country, that story was extraordinary. And for people that don't know the background, go and get yourself a copy, if you don't already, of Loose Units. Read the chapter called The Witch, because what she did was, quite frankly, almost not of this world. But she did present herself. She walked in through the electronic doors of the Royal North Shore Hospital, and she was Well, she had burns to more than 95% of her body and had multiple stab wounds. So yeah. We're just sort of setting the scene here. Now, they've had a bedside court for this particular guy that owns this Taekwondo studio. They've since discovered that he's murdered three people. Holy including shit. An eight-year-old boy.
Oh, God.
Who was one of his students.
Right.
He strangled the eight-year-old to death. He strangled the boy's mother to death. That was done at his Taekwondo studio in Parramatta. He then drives to Baulkham Hills, which is a suburb in the northwest of Sydney,
yep.
Where he confronts the father of the now deceased mother and son, and he stabs the father to death.
Good God.
Okay, so once he's killed the three, now they don't know the motive because, you know, the information that it's very sketchy, but they did a bedside court, mm-hmm. which is very interesting. And he has been, or he's going to be, charged with three counts of homicide.
That's terrible.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So I'm just thinking, and part of me thought, you know, when they say strangled, it will be interesting as time goes by to see on a fairly macabre note. But I'm thinking, if you're an expert in Taekwondo, and I've seen some photographs in the media of him in some extraordinary, you know, kicking poses, you know, that kick they do where the one foot is way above the head.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, he's almost doing the splits.
Taekwondo is primarily a kick-based martial art, and I've done some sparring against some Taekwondo people, and they're very limber, but...
Paul, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that if you're an expert in Taekwondo, you would... It's... I mean, I'm just wondering whether we're being sort of shrouded from some more of the more gruesome facts, and perhaps my mind goes to why wouldn't you actually... If you're an exponent of a particular martial art, why wouldn't you use that in the execution of killing someone?
Yeah, look, I mean, here's the thing. I've just looked up this story. He was his name is Kwang Kyung Yu, and he runs the studio, like you mentioned. And he was injured during all of this stuff. So he's been kind of interrogated at the hospital. So, yes,
but Paul, is it not possible that they're self-inflicted wounds? Because he says he was attacked in a car park at a shopping center.
Right, because was thinking maybe one of these people fought back, potentially, the husband. I mean,
Look, he murdered the... he strangled
the
mother and son. Then he goes to the other house and stabs the husband.
Mm.
I'm saying, based on... I'm thinking about a situation where you would confront someone. I mean, the husband clearly would not have known that his wife and son had just been murdered.
Mm.
He's confronted. We don't know whether he was an exponent of martial arts. We don't know a lot about him. But I would like to bury a little bit deeper into this, but we can't because we're very limited by what information we have. I would like to know whether, in fact, the wounds, and this certainly would not be the first case. By a long stretch, is that self-inflicted,
mm-hmm.
because you'd be in that sort of state of mind after you've just killed particularly an eight-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, that's, you know, on the spectrum of murder. I'm
killing you. 7 years old, yeah.
Seven.
Yeah.
That's just terrible.
I mean, look, okay, so according to this piece, they're still looking for a motive. Hopefully that comes out soon because I would like to know what the hell is going on there.
Mm.
The Martial Arts Academy, I don't know why I feel the need to name this, but it's called Lions Taekwondo Martial Arts Academy. And what sucks here is that if you are just a student of the academy, right? Because being part of a community where something like this happens is deeply, deeply disturbing and it shakes it to its foundations. But can you imagine if you are just somebody for whom martial arts and this instructor have changed your life and then you wake up in the morning and find out what's happened? I mean, you wouldn't... How the hell do you recover from something like this?
Terrible, terrible. Now, that's the first story. The second story, I think we'll go into something a little bit lighter and then back to something pretty heavy. But
sure.
Paul, this is a story for you and the listeners that on so many levels is fascinating. Firstly, a particular event happened in Texas on the 8th of February. That's my birthday. This happened on my birthday. Secondly, listeners, Paul has no idea what I'm about to say.
I don't, but based on what you said, it's going to be the filling in a tragedy sandwich, so I'm very curious.
Well, it's the filling in a tragedy sandwich, and Paul, what a wonderful metaphor.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Picture a behemoth of a man.
Uh-huh.
He's got a head on him like a DMP.
Dropped meat pie.
Dropped meat pie.
Great.
That's fallen out of a tree from a massive height.
Why was it in the tree?
Well, this potato was just up there. And it's sort of parboiled.
Did you say this potato?
Yeah, not...
Wait, so it's like not a meat pie.
Oh, sorry. Well, isn't that funny? No, it's just that I have an image more of this guy's face as being more of a potato.
Well, they'd say a baked potato.
Okay, so he's got a head on him like a baked potato.
A dropped baked potato, DBP.
He's massive.
Yeah, okay.
He's gargantuan.
Sure, bad head though.
Yeah. Judging by the photographs, either the police officer is a very tiny man, mm-hmm. which I doubt.
Yeah.
But this guy is big.
Big boy.
And he's wearing a kilt.
Oh, in Texas?
Yep.
Sorry, I don't mean to disparage the people of Texas, but that's not where I go for my kilts.
No, but he wears a kilt, this guy, and he doesn't wear any underpants. Okay, so his dusters and his pudding, black pudding, whatever, however one would describe it, they're all dangling. And there's a reason they're dangling.
Yeah, what is it?
There's a reason he's not wearing any underpants.
Uh-huh.
Paul, I need your 100% attention for this story. It's so extraordinary. He has been going into numerous antique shops. He then gets antiques, beautiful antiques.
Yeah.
He then inserts them into his rectum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Wait. So a very, very large...
lots and lots of many.
Listen, a very large man with a head like a dropped baked potato is entering antique stores in Texas with a kilt and shoving stuff up his bot.
Correct. Now, Paul, it gets worse.
Don't see how.
Well, it does because he's very, very... He chooses an incredible array of antiques. These are genuine antiques. These are seriously wonderful antiques. They're beautiful pieces. They're on display. Mm-hmm. Now, they've got him on video. And they found out that he's been doing this for many, many months. But when he was arrested, they used the footage. What he does, he inserts various objects, but not just he doesn't just rub them around his freckle. Okay?
Your use of the word freckle is so upsetting, by the way.
He inserts the objects.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he lubes up. He may be pre-lubed. Paul, ready for this? When he removes the objects, they're covered in feces. He then puts them back on the shelf. And it's...
Wait.
They've had to destroy
many
objects. They haven't...
Hang on. Sorry, this is very important. I thought he's not stealing things and leaving with them.
No, he puts them back on display.
Wait, he
covered
puts
in
them up...
shit.
What?
Yes. It's so bad. And for all the listeners that don't believe me, do a tiny bit of research and all will be revealed. It's a real story. It's happening in real time. He was arrested on my birthday, which made me feel rather depressed. But then many, many other store owners in Galveston and many, many towns and villages, not that they have villages in America, but small places with antique shops, people have begun to realize that, oh no, he has also done the same thing. But they didn't know that these things were covered in Scheißen, which is German for shit. And some of them, unfortunately, would have been sold with feces and then taken home. And they may even be sitting on people's mantelpieces. I mean, it's just... It's such a messed up story, and it reminds me, Paul, of the famous, if not infamous, story of the Pavlova magic, again, which I believe is in your first book.
Yeah, I think so.
And or maybe people are traumatized by that story.
I think Pav magic is actually that might be a podcast exclusive potentially.
True, but also I would like to say, in fairness to the guy that had the Pavlova magic. And people who don't know what that is, it's just do some research. Just type in Pavlova magic. But I have a feeling in that particular case when I'd say he was well lubricated, he'd really lubed up. He'd either A, lubed up his bot, or he'd lubed up the actual object.
Slathered the egg in a bunch.
That's what makes me feel with this guy in Texas that he has pre-lubed his anus.
Good morning,
because
everybody.
You just wouldn't go up to a beautiful pepper mill or a bottle opener, and particularly those bottle openers with the arms, because that would be really problematic, because when you went to pull it out, the arms would open up and you'd be fucked.
They'd deploy like an umbrella inside you and just rip your insides out.
So that's sort of... But this is a true story.
Yeah.
And as Paul said, the filling in between a shit sandwich...
Well, no, Dad, turns out the filling between a shit sandwich is shit.
So it's a terrible story. Sorry, and it's folks. True. And here's something, an aside to the story, because I think a lot of stuff had to be destroyed. There will be a lot of people in Texas.
Yeah.
That in fact, there'd probably be many, many hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know how long he's been doing it. They also believe he had a female accomplice. He's a big guy. If I saw him in the street, I would definitely walk to the other side if it was safe to do so.
Do you think it was the smell, for one? Do you think it was a fetish, or do you think it was just like a weird... Because I thought it sounds like he's trying to find the object that fits just right, you know, like a slipper.
Look, I'm surprised. Honestly, I don't think he actually... There's no intention to steal, which from a criminal perspective is very interesting because...
What is it, vandalism?
Well, no, because technically, I think you can clean the object.
Yeah.
Not that anyone should have to clean it, but he was, you know how they have these bonds in America where you get, they post a bond?
Yeah.
It's like a surety.
A bail bondsman, basically. Yeah.
Have a guess what the bail bond was.
Oh, God. It's either, no, go on. I have no idea.
$100.
Okay. Yeah. That, yeah.
And that so this... to me is sort of, it stinks.
Well put. Well put. Okay, what's the third story now?
The third story is really quite depressing.
Oh, great. Sorry. Why didn't you finish with the poo?
No, I think it's important to have a breather.
The breather at the end. You don't...
I know. But look, what we will just finish on, Paul, is it's a tough story. Uh-huh. I don't want to go too deeply into it because it's, for many reasons, it's just out in the public arena now. But Mark Hayden... was involved with the Snowtown murders, the murders of 12 people,
yes,
the bodies in the barrels, he is being released. And the South Australian Parliament is trying to... Because they've discovered there's a bit of a loophole, not insofar as him being released. That is a fait accompli. That is happening.
Yep.
That his due process has been followed. That's a fact. The only thing they feel is that they want to sort of beef up his security.
Yep.
In terms of being monitored.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to sort of rush something through.
How long's he been in prison for, by
the way? More than 20 years.
Okay.
And he was one of these people that was aware at the scenes of some of the crimes, but also found a lot of the crimes incredibly disturbing, and there are instances where he just couldn't be present during some of the terrible things that happened. And the other people are never, ever being released. They all will die in jail. But this particular person is going to be released into society, and people are going to have lots of views. But I guess the thing I would say is, before you just sort of inextricably link him to Snowtown, it's a good idea to sort of get a little bit of history as to his role, because clearly it's not as, I won't say not as bad, but it's different to to the other people.
Well, there have to be distinctions between things in the legal profession, and obviously, you know, I get that. But I mean, that's not going to make it any easier for the victims' families. But yeah, it is a interesting distinction to make.
Yes, and I think, Paul, it's been a great podcast. As it's been, you know, it's sort of, there's a salt and pepper mixture. Of,
there's a mixture, right? Yeah,
it's a mixture of things. I mean, how would you feel back to the middle story? Is it more a psychological? I mean, here I'm just trying to give an example of how our minds operate. Can I give an analogy that you may or may not include in this podcast, Paul?
Yes,
and it's a pretty weird analogy, but it's all to do with perception and context. So, if someone really beautiful and famous was to, say, spit on a pavement, and people around thought that's pretty disgusting, and then a few meters past that particular incident, a homeless person who hadn't bathed in 2 years and who was just, it was just, you know, from a visual perspective, was pretty unpleasant, and that same person did the same thing, do you think people's perception of the act is different in terms of
interestingly, look, okay, so for example, let's say somebody extraordinarily, like a Monica Bellucci or whatever, like spat on the ground or whatever, and then a homeless person did it, you might be disappointed that somebody who, scare quotes, should know better would do something like that, whereas you might go, well, that's just, you know, they've been through hard stuff, they're probably going to do, I don't know. I do think perception changes. I think the fact that the guy is very, very big and wearing a kilt, I mean, that baffles me. The kilt thing, though, is the kilt was clearly easy access, right?
No, easy access and clever.
Yeah.
Clever. I mean, I was best man at a wedding once, and it was a very windy wedding, and the groom was dancing, and the wind blew, and I got to see his dusters, and I was shocked. I genuinely didn't know that people freeballed when they wore a kilt.
Just for overseas listeners, by dusters you mean?
Balls, testicles, scrotum, dingleberries, jangles.
Happy sacks.
Yep.
That's all the time we have for this episode of Loose Units. I'm Paul, that's John. We're so sorry. We'll see you next week for more Loose Units. Bye, everyone.
Cheerio, bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.